Funding for Here and Now Anytime comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hi, this is Here and Now Anytime, where we give you a little news, a little something you weren't expecting, and always a fresh, in-depth perspective on current events, arts and culture, and stories that matter. Subscribe or follow to get all our episodes out every weekday. And if you like what you hear, tell a friend about us to help spread the word. Now here's the show.
Programs normally seen at this time will not be presented today in order that we may bring you the following specials.
It is given to few men in their lifetimes to see this sight. This is the moon moving into perfect alignment between sun and earth. It's the most awe-inspiring sight the heavens can offer. The beginning of a total eclipse of the sun.
Got your glasses on? It's Monday, April 8th, and this is Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Chris Bentley. Today, tens of millions of people across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada are going to see something that's been inspiring wonder and dread as long as there have been humans on Earth. For up to 4 minutes and 27 seconds, depending on where you are, you'll be able to see a total solar eclipse. Follow our live coverage on the radio by streaming hereandnow.org from noon Eastern Time onward. The real festivities start around 2 Eastern. And as you're getting situated for the big event, we've got some advice coming up in a few minutes for how to watch the eclipse with kids. And after that, which shoegaze song you need to add to your eclipse playlist.
I would say that it's defined by loud guitars and sort of quiet everything else. It lends to this quiet, dreamy intensity. That kind of screams eclipse to me, and not just because it's called When the Sun Hits.
But first, there are also more literal ways to think about eclipse music. And that's where we're starting our show today, with a conversation about a small device that translates light into sound. It was built specifically so blind and visually impaired people could experience the eclipse. It's called Light Sound. And here to discuss it is one of the creators, Allison Barilla, an astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. She spoke to Scott Tong.
So this device is a small, colorful box to turn light into sound. Explain how it works.
Yeah, so essentially it's got a very high dynamic range light sensor, and that light sensor just measures changing brightness of light. So in the case of a solar eclipse, as the moon eclipses the sun, the light will dim, and that measurement gets recorded. And so basically we map that value of changing brightness over time to different instruments using a MIDI synthesizer board. So bright light gets mapped to a flute sound, and then the mid-range is a clarinet, and then there's a low clicking sound during dim light.
Oh. And we have an example here. I understand you brought it into our studio in Boston. So help walk us through, help explain the sound we're about to hear.
So this is like a room level light currently. So this would be the clarinet range. If we start with the brightest light, it's a flute sound. So a bright sunny day, you might hear this.
Oh, so like kind of broad middle of the day before the eclipse, we're going to hear the higher tone. Is that right?
Yeah, the bright sunlight. Yep. And then it starts to dim. So as the moon eclipses the sun, it starts to go down in pitch and it goes to a clarinet range. And then at totality, it gets pretty dramatic. And then towards the middle of totality, you'll start to hear it clicking, for instance, and then it gets slower and slower.
The darkest moment of the eclipse,
At the darkest moments of eclipse, okay. Exactly.
And then when the moon kind of nudges over and we start seeing the sun again, then we start hearing the higher pitches in the instruments again?
Exactly. So then as the moon moves off, it'll go in reverse and you'll start to hear clicking speed up, and then it'll go to clarinet mid-range, and then back to bright sunny day and a flute sound.
Yeah. So is this a fairly low-tech thing, you know, that many people can actually build themselves?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to design this in a way that it was accessible to as many people as possible. That's why we designed a standalone device and not have a cell phone app. So it just uses pretty inexpensive Adafruit Arduino type components, and you know, people can build it on their own if they want. This project's completely open source, so everything's available to build these devices on our website in English, Spanish, and French. The code's available, the 3D printed case is available, everything you'd need.
The light sound devices have been used in previous eclipses, including one in 2017. What reaction did you get from users?
We had three prototypes in 2017. For this eclipse, we have 900, so it's a huge jump in numbers. And we had some out in the South American eclipse in 2019-2020. We had about 100. So we got a lot of feedback. In 2017, it was a prototype, and so we definitely changed a few things. We introduced a new light sensor, and we added the MIDI component to make the sound a little more pleasant. But yeah, the overwhelming feedback has just been, you know, thank you for developing something that allows blind and low vision to experience eclipses in a way that they're interacting with the event and not just hearing about it. A lot of people, you know, described 2017 as feeling left out. And so it's really wonderful that this device is having an impact and people are excited about it.
So does the user then just plug a set of headphones into the device to listen?
Yeah, you can plug in headphones and kind of have a personal and individual experience with the device. Or a lot of people are hosting like listening sections within an event. So you plug it into a speaker and then a group of people can listen to the sound of the eclipse together.
Yeah. Allison, I understand you developed this light sound device along with Wanda Diaz-Merced, who is a blind astronomer and at the time with the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics where you work. For people who wonder how you can be a blind astronomer, what tools are out there to make it work?
Yeah, she is a blind astronomer, but she does research. She just uses sound. Data is data, and you can interact with it in many different ways. And in her case, she uses sound to do it. You're just interpreting numbers. It might be different for someone that's used to visually looking at data or plotting it, but you can plot it with sound too. And so it's important that we make sure that these kind of resources and tools are available to students and kids growing up so they can actually get involved in science.
That's great. Does that mean then, as you're brainstorming how to do this differently or others are thinking about it, if it is light as just data, are there other ways to do this, right, for people who are visually impaired? It can be a pulsing sound or you can have different kinds of music. They're all different ways you can kind of turn light into a physical experience for people who are blind or visually impaired.
Yeah, sure. So you can have a color sensor, for instance, and you can experience the different wavelengths of light with different sounds. Or, you know, we're looking into incorporating a haptic motor, a vibrational motor. So a blind and deaf individual would be able to experience the device through vibration. You can print things tactily so you can feel them instead of listening to them. There's many, many different ways to interact with data.
We've been talking to Allison Barilla, an astronomer at Harvard Center for Astrophysics and one of the creators of the light sound device. Allison, thanks so much.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Coming up next, how do you watch a solar eclipse with kids? Quick tips for parents and caretakers after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Get your quote at progressive.com and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, I mean, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Every one of us glimpsing the eclipse today has a little bit of childlike wonder in them. But for those who are watching with actual children, we've got some tips for how to keep them safe. Sylvia Piccianati has some thoughts. She's about to see her sixth total eclipse. And this time around, she has traveled with friends, 13 kids in all, to Lake Travis, Texas, in the Austin area. Sylvia is a cub master. She's been talking about this eclipse to scouts, and she's written a children's book about it called Magical and Unusual Solar Eclipse. Here's her conversation with Scott.
My kids have heard about this for a long time. My oldest saw his first when he was 3.5, and he has some memories of it. And they were both very much involved in my writing of my book, so they've gotten a very thorough education on it.
I'm just curious, if you hear one of your kids who knows a lot about this, have you heard one of your children explaining it to another kid? I'm just curious how that explanation goes.
Oh, they're pretty savvy. You know, they'll explain that the moon is covering the sun, and they know that it's a new moon, so you can't see it in the sky, and the sun is going to get covered, and at the eclipse time, if you're lucky enough to be in an area where you can see that, it'll look black in the sky, and you'll see like white light streaming from it.
Yeah. Oh, very sophisticated. I like.
Yes,
that.
They've heard it a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how you and the families around you plan to set things up for safety. How will your team protect your kids' eyes?
Right. So we are traveling both with eclipse glasses and with eclipse viewers. So just for people who don't know, eclipse viewers are actually these rectangular pieces of cardboard that have a piece of solar filter in the center. You don't wear them. You hold them. And the reason we have both is that eclipse glasses are really good for older kids. They can follow directions. Also, they can find the sun in the sky, even though they otherwise can't see anything else. Younger kids have difficulty with that. With eclipse viewers, instead, you can hold it already in position in front of the sun and then direct a younger child to see it, which ensures that they're looking in the right place and that the sun is already perfectly covered.
You have a broader range of protection for their eyes than just the glasses.
Right. But honestly, the best way of all, if you're really concerned, is to direct their attention towards making pinhole projection devices, because those, you're not looking towards the sun at all, and they can have a lot of fun making them. You can just make them out of sheets of paper and just poke holes through them and then project that onto the ground, onto like a white blanket or another piece of paper. You can also use household objects like colanders. And it's more fun for them, and then you don't have to worry because they're not looking at the sun at all.
Yeah, yeah. So do any of them have their pinhole projectors ready to go, already poked?
Yes. So because we were traveling, we made them in advance, and we're at a rental house, so we can see if we can find any slotted spoons. People have belts, but they can also just use their hands. So it can be like a fun, you know, scavenger hunt for them.
Yeah. We have been speaking to Sylvia Piccianati. She's a mother of two and also a Cub Scout leader. She's traveled to Texas to watch the eclipse with several other families, talking about how to do it and how to protect kids at the same time. Sylvia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, our picks for songs for an eclipse, and no shade on Dark Side of the Moon, but these are probably ones you haven't heard before. We'll be right back.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you. Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
We heard how the eclipse itself can be turned into music through the magic of MIDI and some scientific ingenuity. But let's get a little more abstract with our notion of eclipse music. You're going to want something to listen to today as you're standing around waiting for the celestial action. And to that end, we turned to one of the people we often turn to in matters of music, Here and Now's own technical director, Mike Moschetto. He mixes this podcast and keeps our radio show sounding good on a daily basis. And he's also a musician with some thoughts on what should be on your eclipse playlist. Here's his conversation with Scott.
You are an experienced eclipse watcher. You went and saw a total solar eclipse back in 2017. Did that help you pick these songs we're about to hear?
By went and saw, you mean I went out onto the WBUR roof deck I was working. yeah, well, I guess in an abstract way it did. I think the mood was sort of joyous and sort of celebratory. It was a moment of, and it always is, a moment of profound privilege to be in the right place at the right time to witness this uncommon natural astronomical phenomenon. But I also can't help but think about how for most of human history, maybe there was not this super sophisticated understanding of the solar system, how historically eclipses were regarded as this ominous, portentous thing. And, you know, there are perhaps apocryphal accounts of battles, historical battles being stopped dead in their tracks, both sides putting down their arms because the sky got blotted out and nobody knew what was going on. So there's always been this fascinating yin and yang to me.
All right, well, let's get some music to perhaps express some of that. First song off is The Sun and the Moon by Me Without You.
Reference to the sun, just the south side of the farm. I planted to the north, terracotta pot. Blind as I have come, I used to wonder where you are. These days I can't find where you're not.
Mine's the yard, surface tent, foxes burrowed underground. Gardening so well, self-recommended. What could I have done but let you down, sun and moon? I want to see both worlds as one.
Rhythmic, entrancing. Again, that is Me Without You out of Philadelphia. Sadly, we are without them because the band played its farewell show back in 2022. Why, Mike, did you pick this, The Sun and the Moon?
I had tickets to that last show in Philadelphia in 2022, but I didn't go. Me Without You came up through sort of a post-hardcore, emo-adjacent milieu. Their lyrical content, the subject matter, is a lot less, I guess I would say, worldly than a lot of their contemporaries. The vocalist and lyricist Aaron Weiss pulls from a lot of religious and spiritual imagery from multiple faiths, from Islam, from Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism. There are references in this song to the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, but the main thrust lyrically is it's inspired by Canticle of the Sun by St. Francis of Assisi. But for my money, I don't think you can get more ecliptic lyrically than The Sun and the Moon, I Want to See Both Worlds as One.
Yeah, yeah. Again, that band had its last shows back in 2022. We're going to listen now to a newer track by Shannon and the Clamps. The song is The Moon is in the Wrong Place. The moon is in the wrong place. Okay, not exactly celestially accurate to be the lyrics police.
The moon and the earth and the sun on April 8th will be exactly where they ought to be. Mike, tell us about this band out of Oakland and its influences.
Yeah, I think there's some very clear influence from not only 60s psychedelia and garage rock, but there's some doo-wop. There's some tight horn lines in this tune as well.
I hear it.
You can hear a real dedication to and emphasis on that sort of vintage production produced by a member of the Black Keys. And this song is from a forthcoming album coming out in May.
Yeah. Okay, let us listen now to a selection from Slow Dive. The song is When the Sun Hits. As the sun. Again, that is When the Sun Hits. Mike, tell us about this shoegaze genre of indie rock.
Yeah, so Slow Dive is one of the, if not progenitors, one of the forefathers of the genre. It's characterized in a bunch of different ways. I think it's one of those genre tags that maybe the artists who are making it resent a little bit. It's applied to them by music writers sort of thing. And so the definition becomes a little bit nebulous, but I would say that it's defined by loud guitars and sort of quiet everything else. It lends to this quiet, dreamy intensity that kind of screams Eclipse to me, and not just because it's called When the Sun Hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The genre is, over the last decade or so, has experienced something of a renaissance. There are still bands that are active in this kind of music. You have Nothing and Narrowhead, and Slow Dive themselves even released a terrific album just last year.
Yeah.
One other thing that I will say is that true Here and Now heads, dedicated NPR listeners, may recognize some of these selections from the Here and Now music library already.
Because, right, you're playing them in the breaks in between our segments on the show.
Exactly right.
Now, finally, for those of you waiting for Bonnie Tyler and that Eclipse song from the fabulous 80s, we apologize. Mike's final selection is not that. His selection is Soundgarden's 90s hit Black Hole Sun. Black Hole Sun turns 30 this year, Mike. Catchy tune, amazing music video, you know, people being lifted up into the sky, maybe apt for what's going to happen April 8th. Why has this song, you think, endured?
Oh, the experience of watching this video on MTV as a lad is like burned into my brain. I think this song endures. I mean, it almost cuts against the stereotypes of grunge, right? It's tuneful, it's melodic, it has sort of a Beatles-y texture to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the testament to its enduring nature is how widely it's been covered by artists both in and outside of the alt-rock paradigm. I mean, from Copeland to Paul Anka, Norah Jones. It's just
oh my goodness.
It's got a real lasting power.
Call my name through the cream and I'll hear you scream again. Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain?
Mike, what makes a good cover of this song?
So the thing that makes this song a good cover, as mm-hmm. I said, is its sort of tunefulness and the strength of the songwriting, and that lends itself to really creative interpretations. If an artist can take another band's signature song and really make it their own and get under the hood and tweak some things and shroud it in their own sort of aesthetics, I think this is a perfect candidate for that.
And there you have it, our Eclipse playlist, courtesy of Here and Now musician and technical director Mike Moscato.
Eclipse watching and listening from the team behind Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. Today's stories were produced by Julia Corcoran, Jill Ryan, and Gabrielle Healy. Today's editors were Todd Munt, Ahmad Daman, Peter O'Dowd, Micaela Rodriguez, Michael Scotto, and Kat Welch. Technical direction from our Dark Lord of the Boards, Mike Moscato, and Michaela Varela. Our theme music is by, yes indeed, it's Mike Moscato, along with Max Liebman and me, Chris Bentley. Our digital producers are Allison Hagen and Grace Griffin, and the executive producer of Here and Now is Carlene Watson. Thanks for listening. Just like the sun, we will return tomorrow.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.